the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
It is always a warm welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry with my co-host Bernie. My friend, I just saw you a couple of days ago, did I not?
Yeah, only a couple of days. It was pretty good. It was good having you down for the footy.
It was great. It's the first time I've been to CommBank Stadium. Obviously, you've been there a few times. But we went to the Parramatta St. George match. Now, actually, we went for the reserve grade one prior, which the Eels won as well, which was awesome. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to play an interview because as we walked to the actual stadium, we bumped into Peter Wynn out the front of his store. What a coincidence. And we got the chance to have a bit of a chat to him. So we'll play that a little bit later, but let's talk about it, mate. It was pretty exciting. Obviously, we had Jono, the sexiest man from Emerald, come down and he came all the way from Mackay. I came from Central Queensland, from Gladstone, and you and Nick came all the way from Richmond. So everybody traveled great distances.
It was a fair effort, from us all, mate.
yep. We met up in Parramatta and had a few bevvies, a bit of lunch, and then started our trek down to the stadium.
Yeah, and you had your backpack with you, and I did mock you about your backpack. The backpack is cool. First and foremost, it's a cool backpack. It's an Eels backpack, and I did have a bit of envy about it. It's got a nice design to it. But I'm taking more of a minimalist approach to things now, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not taking anything to the game. And you had your backpack, and I thought, I even said to you, well, you got your backpack for you. You know, what are you taking? And sure enough, we run into old Peter Wynn out the front of Peter Wynn's store, Score, and you happen to have your recording equipment in the bag. So credit to you, it has to be said. You're always ready for the interview.
Yeah, you were a little bit surprised by that. I don't actually recall you making fun of my backpack. I do recall you making fun of the fact that I was wearing black dress trousers. Yes. And I had an Eels top on. You're like, what are you wearing black pants, like suit pants for? And it's very simple. I'm really fat at the moment, so these pants are quite stretchy, and that's why I did it.
Yeah, well, it just sounds like I'm being a bit of a dick now because I'm like, I'm bagging out your backpack, bagging out your suit pants. But you did have the Coles employees' black pants on, and I thought that you were either coming from a business meeting or planned to go to one afterwards when we were clearly going to the pub, and I thought, I'm going to have to ask. Now, I was not as prepared as you because actually at the ground when I went to the Dunny, I did run into the legend himself, Brett Kenny.
Wow.
Now, he was coming out of the toilet and I was walking into the toilet and we were at that awkward place whereby I was already in, he was already on the way out. He looked at me, I looked at him. And I'm thinking, can I get a photo? And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I just walked right past him. But I was just thinking, oh, I should have got a photo with him. I should have got something. And I'm like, you don't ask for a photo with a dude when you're in the toilets, you know, especially not if it's Brett Kenny. So I did think if I was just like a couple of seconds later, then you know, just would have run into him perfectly. But anyway, next time. Like, I don't know if that counts as meeting. So, you know, you say, oh, I met Brett Kenny. I just kind of walked past him. Like, I've met a lot of the old Eels. I've never met Brett Kenny before. So that was the first time. And I thought, it kind of counts. I don't know.
Mm. Well, if it makes you feel any better, the following day, I was up on the Central Coast and going up to see my uncle. And I was with my brother. And as we were driving to my uncle's place at Wyong, my brother's like, oh, that farm there is owned by Mark Waugh. And I was like, oh, okay. Not really thinking anything of it. And then later we met my parents at Tugra for lunch and we're just walking along and this guy's walking towards me really quickly and I look up at him, I'm like, that's Mark Waugh. And by this time he was past me and I was sort of in two minds of like, oh, do I run after him and ask if we can actually speak to him through Messenger? And I just thought, the moment's gone. Yeah. I've missed it. So
from all reports, the Waugh boys are not too forthcoming with their time when it comes to these sort of things. Especially Steve. But I know that when Mark, because Mark started dating an older woman and he started getting dragged through the press and he, I think he shut up shop. So I think he might have given you the brush off anyway, so it might be a blessing in disguise.
He didn't look very friendly. He didn't look very happy. So I was like, okay, I'll just let that one slide. However, we speak to Peter Wynn, and then we make our way to the grounds. We watch the reserve game, which we defeated St. George quite handily in. And then my brother and my father turn up. So my dad's a mad Saints fan. My brother is a fan of the Melbourne Storm. And as I told you on the weekend, that brings great shame to our family. But yeah, Dad's got his Dragons jumper on and we've all got a beer and he's all primed. He can't wait for it to start. And during the reserves match, St. George scored at one point, and that's when you leant over and said to Dad, that's the only try you're going to see tonight, Georgie, you know, and he was giving it back. He loved it. So it wasn't long.
It did get a bit too much for him, though, at the end. I mean, you know, it, for any St. George fan, it would have to get to you a little bit. Now, I wasn't going to stick the boot in, and I think we did a bit of a recording beforehand downstairs with our predictions, and I said we were going to win by 30-plus, but, you know, secretly, I didn't think we were going to win by 30-plus, but I did say you don't kick a man when he's down, and I was very much thinking, you know, I just shook his hand as he left, and I'm like, don't say any smart-ass parting comment, like he's obviously feeling it anyway, but he had a fantastic jumper on. It was a good looking Dragons jumper. And he actually said that he's a Eels Life member because he used to drink at the club so much. And I was a bit envious. I'm not an Eels Life member. So he's even got that one up on us.
Yeah, well, he's the one we'll start hitting up for tickets. So, and all the little knickknacks and things that he gets sent that, oh, I don't know what he does with him, throws them in the bin, but. Yeah,
he said something about having a box or something. I don't know if he really does or whether he's just being a smart ass.
I don't think so. He must have been winding you up. Yeah,
I think so. But it was a pretty good game. You know, it was after we beat Melbourne, and I think that was the game, obviously the game of the year, but it was, you know, it was the game of the last 3 years for me. I just enjoyed it so much beating Melbourne.
Mm.
When you touch up someone like St. George, you don't get the same kind of joy because I think they shuffled their spine just before the game and they got rid of their young superstar in the making with Sloan. And I just think that the coach dropped the ball a bit by doing the last minute shuffle and it showed. Like, you know, Empire wasn't really ready to take on the fullback role and Parramatta was in fine form. So it was a bloodbath.
Mm. Can I just circle back to when you were talking about Melbourne and say, fuck Melbourne.
Can always circle back and say, fuck Melbourne. Yeah.
But coming back to this game, I actually thought the St. George side had the right strategy. You could tell that they were clearly targeting us down that left side, which historically is the Fergo side. And I've said all along that I swear to God, team meetings for other teams when they're playing us that are meant to go for 60 minutes just end up being, right, Fergo's in the team, run it Fergo down that left side, and that's how we're going to win. Okay, team meeting over, who wants Sizzler? It's always been a weakness of ours, so I actually thought it was quite a clever idea. However, we saw something this week, and at no point am I ever with Parramatta prepared to say the problem's been fixed and it'll keep going and improving on from here because we run so hot and cold. But every tackle had three blokes in it. Yep. Every tackle that the player was wrapped up and there were very minimal bursts. It was an excellent defensive effort by our team.
What I noted was Will Penasini, and he went low a couple of times and got run over. He went high and he got brushed off. And then he came in and started tackling around the waist and tackling in numbers as well. And I could see him trying to work out, you know, that the attack coming at him. And I think he did a really good job of adjusting. I forget their number three. What is their number three? Suli or something?
He was great. He was fantastic. He had a great game.
Absolute beast. And so for Will, I think within the first 5 minutes, the Dragons had made a burst down that side and just ran over the top of him. You got to keep reminding yourself that this, he's just a kid. He's just young. He's 19. To have the thought in his head to, I need to adjust at that age instead of I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. I've seen a lot of footballers just do that. I'm just going to do the same thing and it doesn't work over and over. He adjusted and he did get trampled a few times, but by the end of the game, he was the one making the burst down the wing and setting up a a beautiful try. So we don't have time to go over all the brilliant plays and all the brilliant players. I just think we need to focus on Dilbags, because I think that he has risen so much in the last few weeks. And in that, Moses has one-upped his game as well. He's gone, no, I'm not going to, like, you know, to sit back here and let you be the star. I'm going to one-up as well. So I just think that, like, Dilbags scored three tries last year. He scored three tries already this year. You know, we're only four games in. So he has really, like I said at the start of the year, I think he's chasing that big dollar contract. Yep. I don't care, as long as we end up winning, you know, at the end of it. Like, it just seems to be we've got the revolving door at the moment. So I think when you're actually there and you see the game, you can see the way that Dilbags is, like, the way he's watching the game, and he's just putting himself in the positions.
Now, credit to you, because on the very first episode of the Parramatta's podcast, you predicted that this would be a breakout year for Dilbags, and thus far, you've been proven correct.
Yeah, I'm going to claim that one, because it was really based around the contract, in all honesty. I just thought he's going to be sitting there going, he seems to be ego. He's young, he's brash, that's fine. He's got the big ego, that's fine. He's got the skills. What he saw was others getting promoted around him. And when you're a young, brash, ego-driven kid, I think that that motivates you. When you see others going past you and you're like, hang on a second, like, the Iceman got the big contract, and, you know, Reed's got the big contract, and, you know, Murata's got the big contract, and they're all moving on. So it's like, I honestly think he's just gone, you know, fuck this, I'm going to up my game and get that big contract. Now, he has extended with us, so we've got him until, I believe, the end of 24.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has taken the option to extend his contract, so happy days.
Well, that excites me, because we're going to get him in his prime. And if I'm not mistaken, I did see a video this week of him leaving the game, leaving the grounds, and some random Eels fan went up to him and challenged him to a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and he's slightly hesitant at first about what's happening here, what's happening, and then suddenly he's like, okay, rock, paper, scissors. And you could see, because he raised his arms up in the air, that he's just competitive in all things. 100%. I could imagine he's that type of guy. One of the other players, he goes, oh, we need to go to the shops, and they're walking towards, you know, Woolies or whatever, and he's got to go in the door first, and he's got to get to the checkout first. Like, he just strikes me as a natural-born competitor, and I think in part that really validates your belief that this is going to be a great year for him.
Yeah. You know what I see in him is a young Cole Trickle. Now, I don't know if you're going to know who Cole Trickle is. Do you know who Cole Trickle is?
Yes.
Days of Thunder. Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder. He's young, he's brash, and he challenges on everything. I think you remember the scene where they're in the wheelchairs together and they're trying to see who can get... I thought the same thing when he was doing the rock, paper, scissors. He wanted to win. He got the win. He kissed his hand, you know. He's like, I'm a winner.
Raise it up. Yeah.
But he was a little bit hesitant. To be fair, the guy did just kind of like come up out of his peripheral vision. So he's like, oh, is this guy going to swing on me? Or, you know, you don't know what the hell's going to happen. Very impressed with him across the board. And my other claim at the start of the year that Wonga Blake is going to turn out to be a fantastic winger is starting to come to fruition as well. He had an absolute blinder. He didn't get really tested too much under the high ball. I think that's obviously his weakness, that he got found out with Jerome Hughes kicking last week. So, but DC picked himself up and just, you know, when he's in the clear and he's just running by himself, he's such a natural runner, and it's incredible to watch him just take off like that. I'm very happy that he's found his place in the team. I'm curious to know what's going to happen, you know, when Sivo comes back. I mean, does Wonga go back into the centres? Is BA going to shuffle the whole team again and then Tom Opacek comes out? I mean, you know, I suppose that's a problem for another day.
But it will be problematic.
It will be. And we've got Sean Russell to come back as well. So do you... I think Simonson's still finding his feet. So do you say to Wonga, you go over on the right wing for a while and we'll give Simonson a bit of time to find his feet? I don't know. And I think we've got to also mention the fact that Bryce Cartwright, that flick pass was probably, it was the best flick pass ever thrown. It's up there with Benji in the 2005 grand final.
Mm.
And his reward is he is dropped from the team. So there you go, Brycey. You get up there, do something incredible, and back down to reserve grade. You go. And Greg, the stop sign. Wormo Greg, back to reserves as well. I start to get a little bit nervous. Mitch Rain making his debut for the club. I'm kind of excited about this. I mean, we were talking about this. It depends on what BA's plans are. If his plans are to get Mitch into the team so that he can get familiar with the players, I think it's a brilliant idea. But if he's just going to sit him on the bench and play him for 5 minutes, I'd rather him be in New South Wales Cup keeping his skills sharp, because they're pretty sharp at the moment.
I think we need to stop, not second-guessing BA, but I think we need to genuinely stop imprinting our thoughts onto his actions. Because to me, I don't mind the idea of blooding players, of getting their timing up, but I don't know if that's what he's doing. I don't know why he's dropping those two players and putting Mitch Rain in. I mean, I can see a benefit and a logic behind it, but how many times has that just been undone? How many times have we wishfully thought? A classic example is this year when Jake Arthur was dropped and we were all, oh, so BA's learned his lesson, finally. And then suddenly at the last minute, he's put back into the team. It's, well, we just can't read this guy and what he does with the bench.
No, and it does make me wonder, like with the assistant coaches, like what their role is. They obviously don't have any control whatsoever, because there's no rhyme or reason to the way he's doing the bench rotation, just having people sit on the bench, not getting any game time. Once again, with his own son, he's not doing him any favours by sitting him on the bench. Now, there were rumours that he got sick during the game, and if that's the case, then fair enough, but just say it. Let us know what's going on. He's going to bring Jake back into the team when he's good to go. Bryce Cartwright is a more diverse player. But exactly what you said, we don't know what he's doing. We don't know why he's got Mitch Rain in the team this week. I mean, what is his plan? Is he only going to play Reed for 60 minutes? Did Reed pick up an injury in the game? Like, is Reed under doubt? And they're going to wait an hour until the game time, and then Reed's cleared, and then they'll drop Mitch off the bench and bring Bryce in. Don't know. It's all going to come down to game time. And I think it's a good idea to play Mitch against Gold Coast, because we got him from Gold Coast. He's played a lot of years up there. He's very familiar with their home ground. But so is Bryce. Bryce came from there as well. I'd be playing both those boys if we want to get the V. So I can only assume that there is no real reason why Mitch Rain is in the team. I'm curious to see him go. I'm glad that he is in the team, but I want to see him get 20 minutes. There's no point putting him in the team and only playing him for 10. I mean, you've got to give him time with that first grade team, so that if Reed can't play towards the end of the year for whatever reason, then we've got Mitch ready to jump in, and it's not going to upset us too much.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out.
Mate, I guess we've got to have a bit of a conversation around Gutho hasn't had an amazing start to the year.
No, he hasn't. I don't know what's going on with him. He did re-sign towards the end of last year. He did re-sign before we lost Reed. So, and I don't think he put up much of a fight. The last few times it's been like, oh, he's going to leave us, blah, blah, blah. But this time he just re-signed. So we obviously threw enough money at him. He's just had a baby. Maybe that's I don't know. I'm kind of guessing a bit here. I mean, maybe he's a bit settled. Maybe he's just, well, I've got my contract. I got my family. You know, I'm sitting pretty easy. I don't need to bust my ass like I used to, but I don't know.
I want to qualify what I'm saying here. I still see the effort. I still see him, you know, running everywhere, and he's always tackling, and he's always saving, you know, he's always intercepting the ball right on the try line. And I don't think his effort is waning. I just think he's just making some uncharacteristic mistakes. He's not as fluid or as sharp as he normally is. And whether that's just he's shaken off a bit of rust and he'll come good, but I just think he's suffering a little bit of form loss at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He definitely has a form slump at the moment. I was watching the commentary. Vossi was saying, he referred to Gutherson as Dipsy Doodle, and it stuck with me ever since. It was about a year ago, he referred to him, he said, oh, Gutho's a bit Dipsy Doodle, and I'm like, he is. Like, he runs with the ball out in front of him, and he runs in a particular, I was going to say weird way, but I suppose we'll go with unique way. He has his own style, but he is very much a Dipsy Doodle, and he's more Dipsy at the moment. He's more Dipsy Doodle at the moment than he is King Gutho. So hopefully he'll come good. Luckily, the other boys are all lifting an effort, but I agree with you that he's definitely suffering a form slump at the moment.
Well, I'm hoping and I'm confident he'll just shake that off. And I guess a positive way to look at it is that it's good that he's having this form slump early rather than later in the season.
Very much so. We've always been worried that we peak a little bit too early, and we have had that habit. So to see us like running hot now, once again, you compare us to Melbourne, who's always there at the end of the year. They ran hot this weekend. We ran hot this weekend and last weekend. Slumps come and go, and form, you know, runs hot and runs cold. So we will have a cold slump throughout the year somewhere. Hopefully it's not at the end of the year where the finals are.
However, let's set the tone here, because we're essentially like trying to look for weaknesses that we can discuss around how we can shore them up so that we have a fantastic season. But let's not lose sight of the fact that that was an amazing performance by Parramatta, and it was a great match, and it was a great win.
It was. We still had 27 missed tackles, I believe, which is a lot considering St. George never had the ball. So I don't know if we have fixed our defensive problems or whether we just, our new defensive tactic is to just keep scoring tries and not give the opposition the ball. I mean, that one works as well. We forgot how to tackle, so let's just score tries.
Well, they've essentially halved their missed tackles. And in one game, I think that's pretty impressive.
It is. I still haven't looked up the other teams to know how many, I don't know how many missed tackles in a game you're supposed to have. Like, you know, I've never actually looked that up. You generally just get a feel. Like, if you know, if your team gets 50 points put on you, you know that you've missed some tackles. So I'll go and do some research and find out exactly how many is an average amount of missed tackles per game. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to be less than 27, even with a big win like that. So I'll check it out.
We would hope so. However, excellent win, boys, and hopefully we can back that up with a solid performance against the Titans in their home ground this Saturday night.
I think we're absolutely going to flog the Titans. They were lucky. They were lucky to get away with their victory. Last Thursday, they put on one of the worst performances ever, and that was universally, you know, spoken about through all the Facebook sites, and they only just managed to beat the Tigers at full time because the Tigers dropped the ball in their own in goal. And that's the only reason why the Titans didn't lose to the Tigers. So unless they are able to turn things around big time, they're going to get absolute flogging on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, we are going to share with you our interview with Peter Wynn in a moment. And a huge shout out to him and his store Score, because he was just so lovely and so giving, and he gave us his time, no problem. And even gave us a key ring at the end, didn't he?
He did. I tell you what, this guy, his old school marketing is so on point. You've got no idea. First of all, he stands out the front of the store. So the people walking past, see, there he is. He stops and you can have it. He'll have a chat to everyone. He's always facing his stall, almost like he's herding you to go in. It's like he's never, you know, with his back to you. He gave us the key rings. He gave us the interview. And lovely fella. And he allowed me to ask, well, I snuck in a bit of a sneaky question about Sterlo, which you'll hear in the interview. I was a bit worried about asking this question, but yeah, check it out. But what a top bloke Peter Wynn is.
Absolutely. And it was a great weekend. It was great to see you. Now, don't forget, everybody, do send us a invitation to join the Parramatta's Facebook page. And when you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the platforms, make sure you subscribe to the Parramatta's podcast. And as we always say here at the Parramatta's podcast, Bernie,
click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels. Here is Peter Wynn. Well, we are at the mecca of Parramatta heaven right now. I've actually been in this store today. It is Peter Wynn's Score, and I sussed out a jersey I am going to buy. But Bernie and I are here. We're on our way to the Saints game. My dad's a mad Saints fan. They're playing tonight. I'm nervous about it. But out front of Peter Wynn's Store, we have the man himself. Peter, thanks for joining us, mate. How do you feel about tonight's game?
Look, I'm thrilled to have a couple, or one Queenslander and one local talking outside the front of my shop. Very special. Yeah, getting back to the game, I think it's going to be the traditional St. George Parramatta game. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of history between the two clubs, you know, so I'm expecting a game of high quality. I don't mind how many points we beat them by, just as long as we beat them. Yeah. So it's that's the way it's going to turn out, because St. George always seem to lift themselves against us. And if I think back to the late 70s, we had a few bad memories there where they knocked us off in a grand final and they knocked us off in the major semi back in 79 as well. So, you know, I don't know if the current players know much about those games, but certainly they are embedded in my makeup. And I think back to those games. It's always a thrill to beat St. George, so have a good thrill this afternoon as well.
When you see the modern-day Parramatta team take on teams like Manly and Canterbury that you were very much arch-enemies against in the 80s, do you get more excitement with us playing against those teams, or you let bygones be bygones and those years are gone?
No, you never forget. You get bitten by a dog, you don't forget it, do you? You know. So, no, I think there's a lot of rivalry between the clubs, and that's embedded in the history of both those clubs. You know, and we joined the competition in 1947, the same year as Manly, so they won a few more premierships than us. And I was thinking about that the other day. Actually, this is our 75th anniversary, which I hope you two gentlemen are aware of. So, you know, there's a bit of celebration coming up over the Easter weekend where a lot of us have been invited to the West Tigers game. But when you think about it, we won four competitions, so it's every 18 years that Parramatta win a competition, which is just too far in between drinks, isn't it? So let's just hope.
It's not really that. It's between 4 years and 1981 and 86 or 5 years.
Yeah, it just shows you how hard it is to win. I mean, there's some great Parramatta teams that haven't won a premiership, but, you know, we're just fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time, I suppose, in 81, 82, 83, and, of course, 86 when we got the job done. But yeah, a lot of feeling, you know, a lot of emotion today, and I'm very excited to be a part of Parramatta's side that was successful in those days, you know, and it's always good to catch up with the old boys, and, you know, we keep patting ourselves on the back, you know, so, but certainly when Parramatta get to the next grand final, we'll be there to cheer them on.
Yeah, excellent.
And so you started the store in which year?
1988, back when I had hair, all right? A long time ago.
Yeah, okay. And it's great to see you go on to something like this, and obviously, you know, you're a huge landmark here, I guess, in Parramatta. Is there any sort of plans to, you know, expand the business or, like, take it somewhere else as well, overseas? Or?
Oh, gee, that's a good question. Are you interested in buying a franchise, eh? I could do you a deal. Yeah, it's gone quick, hasn't it? 34 years. When I first came to Sydney, I was a secondary mathematics teacher and grew up in the country. Are you a teacher, eh? Yeah, small world, isn't it? But always wanted to get into my own business, and this opportunity came along. I took it up at the end of 1987, and I'm still here and still standing, I suppose, is the way to say.
So when you unpack, like, Bulldogs jerseys, is there a little part of you that wants to sort of hide them in the back corner, or?
I try to step on them before I put them on display. Yeah, wasn't that great rivalry if you go back to the 80s between Parramatta and Canterbury? I mean, that's our last premiership in 86, and they unfortunately knocked us off in the 85 final, and they knocked us off in the 84 grand final, and they knocked us off in the 79 final as well, you know, so that was just such an enormous era. You know, both sides had great teams, you know, like Sterlo was our halfback, Stevie Morton was their halfback, and both sides had the gun players, you know, and that's what it's all about, having good players around you, because it lifts the other players. Everybody rises to the occasion in the big games, as we've seen in the past.
Can we get a scoop, perhaps? Like, there's a lot of rumours. We're probably creating the rumours ourselves that Sterlo is going to be the next coach of Parramatta. Have you got any inside information on what Sterlo is going to be doing?
Oh, good question. Actually, I don't know if you know, but we live together. Back in 1979, I came from the country and he came up from the country as well, and we used to live with the first grade manager up in Castle Hill. And 12 months ago, Stella said, I'm retiring. I said, Stella, what's going on? He said, no, I'm retiring. I'm giving it away. And he did. He gave it away. But I don't really think he's going to take up coaching. You know, he's certainly got a good brain. He had to call a game. And we went out for lunch the other day with Steve Mortimer and Eric Grath and myself. And Stella said he's enjoying retirement. So he won't be doing too much, I don't think.
Yep. He likes his golf, doesn't he? He's a bit of a golfer, mad golfer.
Yeah, he does. You know, he's a good little player too, actually. He can hit it. I remember when I came to Sydney, we lived together. I must have been a good guinea pig because we played golf and he cleaned me up every time we played, you know. And when I saw him the other day, he said, well, do you want to play another game of golf? I said, no, still, I've stabbed my cabin 30 years ago when you cleaned me up.
Now, Bernie and I have a theory. We need one particular thing to win the grand final. We need to see Parajesus come back. Do you know where Parajesus is?
Gee, he's been unsighted, hasn't he? That's a very good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know where he is. That's going back to 2009 when he was like the Mecca, wasn't he, back before that grand final. So maybe he hasn't recovered. Maybe he might have gone to the dark side or something since, you know, not getting the job done that day when we got knocked off by Melbourne. So maybe he hasn't recovered, but I haven't seen him. Maybe someone can reinvent themselves and be the next Jesus. What do you think?
I'd like to see the original Jesus come back. So I think maybe he lost a bit of faith after Melbourne cheated with their salary cap and maybe he just hung up the robe and that's the end of it. Apparently, like, he's a regular guy. He works in as an accountant or something or other. So he's just a normal bloke and loves to don the frock and come out. And
yeah, I think Les Boyer was a normal bloke too. He put a Western Suburbs jersey on as well. All right, if that's the analogy you're trying to make.
Was he the toughest player you ever played against, Les?
There's been some tough ones. There's been some tough players. I think probably in my era, you had blokes like Terry Randall, certainly Les Boyd. And now as we got towards the end of our career, I suppose Blocker Roach come to the front. And, you know, different players like that, David Gillespie. The Bulldogs are always tough, you know. Peter Kelly, you remember when they get hold of you. Steve Folks, you know. David Gillespie, Langmack, as I mentioned. But, you know, those sort of players, you know, they're once-in-a-lifetime sort of players because, you know, when you're bumping into them, you know they're going to hurt you, unfortunately. You know, so you just, if they do hurt you, just try to hurt them twice as much. Next time you get near them, you can get near them. Yeah, no, you know, a lot of tough players from that era. Amazing.
So thank you so much for joining us. And we will, of course, send this to you. Now, we have to hurry because one of our mates is in here and I'm sure he's up to probably about $800-$900 worth of gear. Good for you, bad for us because he won't be able to buy beers tonight. So thank you so much for joining us. And, go Para.
And don't forget, if you don't score here, you'll never score.
The Parramatters Podcast. Available on all major podcasting platforms.